GreatSuccess.com.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word that you have prepared for us today. Thank you for the experience we've had in time past. I will return the glory to you in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you visit everyone and that you grant us the wisdom to maximize everything we are learning today. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. The topic remains Common Sense Guide to Giving and Receiving. When we are talking about common sense, it means that there are some things that should just be done. There are things that are expected of us. That when we give, we should not just give emotionally alone. There are some things that are expected of us to put at the back of our minds when we are giving. So those are the things we'll be looking at today. But before we continue with that, I want us to remember what we discussed last week. We mentioned the mysteries and miracles of good success at the beginning of the episode last week. And I made mention of some important things that God wants us to, as Christians, to live by the mysteries of the kingdom, not just to depend on the miracles. Because the miracles, they are not the things that God actually wants us to live by. They are not the lifestyle in quotes. Your lifestyle is supposed to be a miracle, but not for you to be waiting on miracles. You are supposed to be a living miracle by yourself. The Bible says, I and the children that the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders in Israel. So you and I should live in such a way that when people look at you, they are wondering that, how is he doing it? How is he making it so good? So that should be your experience, and that should be my experience. So we'll be looking at this series for the next couple of weeks, maybe 7 weeks, Kingdom Mysteries and Miracle for Good Success. But today, we are focusing on the topic that says, Common Sense Guide to Giving and Receiving. Let's read some scriptures. Genesis 8:22, the Bible says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Then the second scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:12, the Bible says, if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. So we want to bust some bubbles today, some things you think and normal about giving and receiving, some things you just assume. We want to destroy all those things today by the word of God. Do you know that many Christians cannot afford to take the wrong approach to success? That means they won't lie, they won't cheat anyone, they won't do the wrong things. But do you know that many Christians afford to not do the right things that make for success? They cannot afford to do the wrong things, but they afford not to do the right things. It's not enough for you and I to avoid the wrong things. We also have to do the right things. There are some right things to be done for us to have the good success we are actually expecting to have. We should also understand that no truth in the kingdom of God is isolated from another one. Some of us just, you know, some people, maybe because of how they grew up, they just pray and fast, you know, praying, fasting. Everything that comes up is praying and fasting. And some people is just, oh, scripture and faith. They just want to declare things. That's how it works. No fasting. No, we don't need to fast. Jesus has fasted for us. Someone else will say, oh, no. All I need to do is for my pastor to just prophesy on my life and it is done. All these things I've mentioned are all truths in the scripture. But no one is isolated from another one. That means because you are doing one of them, does not mean you have to neglect the other things. Everything should be done. Jesus said about tithing and offering. He said, the Pharisees even said, woe to you Pharisees and Sadducees, because when you offer tithe, you pay tithe of all the tiny details. He was talking about, it's like somebody giving you a stick of vegetables. You know, before you cut it, before you dice it, somebody should give you one. Do you know what the Pharisees will do? If there are maybe like 10 leaves on it, they will take one and pay tithe of it. Jesus was saying, that's how detailed they are. He said, but they are doing all this, but they have neglected other things in scriptures. So he's saying, don't just do one thing and neglect the other things. And in the scriptures, it's not just one thing you do that will solve the other things. No, as you are doing one, you are doing the others. There are several things that need to be done at the same time. Now, back to giving. The whole earth thrives on giving and receiving. You are all alive today. I'm alive today because there's giving and receiving happening every moment, every second. The moment you are still alive, it means you are breathing. You are giving out carbon dioxide and you are taking in oxygen. Plants are giving you oxygen, you are giving them carbon dioxide. That's why the whole earth is standing. That's why everything is functioning well. Because there is a balance. There is a giving in between the two parties. As you give, you are also supposed to expect receiving. It is natural. In fact, it is an anomaly for you not to expect to receive in return. Some people just say, oh no, I love God. Just give to God, don't expect anything in return. That is against scriptures. Some people will say, oh no, the only reason you are giving is to receive. It's still not perfect truth. You give because you love God, but you expect in return because God says that when you give, you will receive. In fact, when you don't receive, it is an anomaly. It is not supposed to be. Because the Bible says, as long as this earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. Did you notice that it didn't say harvest time? Because harvest is continuous, depending on the kind of seed you have sown. So when you sow a seed, you must always expect in return. So what are the myths and errors about giving and receiving? We are talking about the common sense guide to giving and receiving today. What are the wrong things we believe about giving and receiving? We're going to be looking at seven of them today. Number one, people sometimes do wrongly believe that the person who received from you will appreciate it or be used by God to bring your harvest of seed sown. I'm going to take that again. Sometimes, whether consciously or unconsciously, we do believe that the person you have given to, we appreciate it. It doesn't happen like that all the time. The only thing is that if you are the one who has received, you must appreciate it. But many times, the people you give to may not actually appreciate the things you have given to them. So don't expect that all the time, what you have given will be appreciated by the people you have given to. Or that the person you are given to will be used by God to bring back what you have given or bring back your harvest. That's a wrong mindset. That's number one. So when you give next time, don't expect anything from that person you have given to. The only person you can always expect something from is God. In fact, God said that when you are good to the poor, He said you have lended unto the Lord. He said God will repay you. He didn't say the poor man will repay you. God will repay you. So it is wrong and it's an error for you to believe that the person you have given to will show a lot of appreciation or will give back to you. It doesn't happen that way. That's number one. Then number two, there is a myth or an error that you can determine when or how your harvest will come. Some people will think because they have given God, they have sown a seed of maybe, let's say, 500 naira. Then maybe you are expecting a percentage of that money to come back, maybe 500,000 or 50,000 or 5,000 or something. No, you can't determine when or how your harvest will come. I don't think there's a place in the Bible that God promised you that you can determine how or when your harvest will come. No. In fact, the Bible went ahead to say that scatter. He said, sow your bread. Sow in the morning, sow in the night. He said, you don't know when it's going to come. He said, scatter your bread upon the waters. He said it will come, but you can't determine when it's going to come. In fact, you can't even determine how it's going to come. All you need to do is sow your seed. Just sow. Keep sowing. There are so many types of seed giving and all that you have to engage in. So you keep giving. You give today in church, next week you still give again. You give to the poor today, next week you still give to the poor again. You give to your parents last month, you still give next month. You keep doing all these things simultaneously. You don't know the one that will bring the harvest at a particular time. They will all bring harvest. That is the truth of the word of God. But you can't determine when it will come. No. It is not like natural harvest that you say, okay, when you plant corn, then in 3 months it will come. The things of the kingdom don't always look like that. You can plant a seed today and the harvest will come in 10 years. And you can plant a seed today and the harvest will come immediately. I've given several times and the harvest came almost immediately. I remember, I think 2017, I've shared that story before. We have a program in church we call Shiloh and I gave a sacrifice then, like a month's salary. We actually got an extra salary, 13th month, and I gave 1 month's salary. And guess what? That same day, an harvest came, maybe the same or several times, but that same day, almost immediately, I got an order that brought that kind of harvest. So you and I must know that you cannot determine when your harvest will come, but there is a guarantee that harvest will surely come. So when you sow seed today, just open your mind, keep praising God. That's all you need to do. Keep praising God when you have sown your seed. But don't think it's going to come today. It may not come today. It may not even come in 10 years. And some of them will even come into your children's life. So all you need to do on your part is keep sowing, keep giving. Then number three, that your harvest will always bring its kind. No, that's a myth. Your harvest may not always bring its kind, or may bring its kind and bring much more. For example, when you give financial blessing to a poor person, in your mind you always expect that financial blessing will come back. Yes, it will come back, but there are many more things that the Bible talked about. When you give to the poor, God will make sure you are protected. He will make sure you are preserved. He will make sure you have abundance. He will make sure your children will not beg for bread. He said, I've been young and I've been old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. One of the things you do for righteousness is giving. So if you have given, God can repay it to your child. God can give you long life because of your giving. So now, can you buy long life with money? No. So sometimes your harvest does not even come in the same format you sowed it. It comes in other formats. For example, when you sow corn to the ground, eventually it's going to bring fruits of corn. But what do you see first? What the Bible calls the ear of corn. It grows and it looks like grass. You have sown corn, you have sown maize, but you see something like grass. Sometimes your blessing comes first as grass. Some of us use complaining to kill it. Sometimes it comes and begins to grow like sugar cane. I'm still talking about corn. If you see the strand of corn, it looks like almost like sugar cane a little. And you're wondering, no, I'm expecting corn. Some of us will use complaint to destroy because we don't understand the process. So you and I must understand that harvest may not always look like what you have sown, but there is a guarantee that it will always come back. Then we have mentioned three things now. Then the fourth one, giving under pressure. Avoid it. It may be an error, a great error for you to give under pressure. Some of us, when you get to some programs, you just say, oh, how many of you want to give a million? And you quickly jump up. You won't even think twice. You don't even have a million. How many days, how many months will it take me to get a million? You have not even thought about it, just jump up. No, don't give under pressure. In fact, before you get to church, always plan what you're going to give in church. Another way is determine how much minimum you're going to give in church. So if you get a program and there's a service, whether it's your church or not your church, you know how much you give on a Sunday. For example, if it's 100, you say, okay, every Sunday I won't give less than 100. So when you get to that service, you are never under pressure. You know that you're going to give 100. And if you are giving cash, you put that 100 in your envelope or whatever, package it, be ready before service. You will never be under pressure and you never be sad when you're giving. Always prepare ahead of time before you give. Prepare. Check throughout the Bible. I don't think there's a time that God said anybody should start giving and they didn't know it ahead of time. Moses, when they wanted to build the temple, they knew ahead of time. He said anyone who is ready, they should give. And people give more than enough. The same way, the Bible says, the scripture we read today, he said if anyone wants to give, it is given according to what you have. According to your decision, you have decided it before time. Don't be under pressure to give. That's why some people give and they don't see the blessings. I don't think I've ever given and I didn't see the blessing, no. It always comes. Don't be under pressure. Prepare your mind. Don't be under pressure to give. And maybe somebody came to you, bros, I need now. Most of them are scammers. Relax. But because you have already determined how much you are always going to give, you can be relaxed. Even when somebody says it's under pressure now, relax, check. What is the percentage of what goes to my giving this month? Take. You can give that person and you know that this month I will not give to the poor again. I've already settled it with one person. Don't be under pressure. Am I saying you can't go out of your convenience? No, you can go out of your convenience. But always keep in mind that you should control your giving. Know what you are giving. The Bible says you give with discretion. I think it's Psalm 112. Give with discretion. Don't be under pressure to give. Don't give under pressure. That's four. So today we mentioned that number one, don't think that the person you give to will be the one who returns it back to you. It's not scriptural. Number two, you cannot determine when or how your harvest will come. it is up to God to determine. But there is only one truth: God will always return back. Then number three, your seed does not always bring its kind, but it may bring its kind and even bring other things. Then number four, don't give under pressure. As much as possible, avoid it. Then number five, there is a myth and an error that some people, many Christians, engage in, that giving is the only cure to poverty. No, it is not true. Giving guarantees that you will prosper, but it is not the only thing to do. For example, if you are giving and giving and giving and you are not working, you are not applying wisdom, you are not using wisdom to grow your business or grow your career, the person will end up poor because you give up everything you have. And you know why? Because as you are opening doors, you are filling up your heaven with blessings, but you are not creating a space to receive it. That's what you are doing. So if you are giving and giving and giving and you are not creating an avenue to receive, then the person will not receive in return. The person will not be able to receive in return. So giving is not the only cure to poverty. Giving is just one of the things you need to do to guarantee your prosperity, but it's not the only thing. Just like when somebody becomes born again, somebody will think, oh, just saying the altar call is what guarantees that you make heaven. It's not the only thing. You still need to walk in righteousness. Because what you got that day is to be empowered to walk in righteousness. When you become born again, you have only been given the license to walk in righteousness, license to live in the kingdom of God. It's just like when you want to travel out, you get a visa. You have just been given the license to live in that country. It doesn't mean that when you live in that country, you won't end up in prison. God forbid. If you keep doing the wrong things in that country, the person will end up in prison. So if someone is born again and he keeps living wrong, then he has also just made useless his visa that he has collected. So what am I saying today? Giving is not the only cure to poverty. It's just the what you do to guarantee your prosperity. But it's not the only thing. Because even when you have given, God begins to open doors. The Bible says, you know, in Malachi 3:10, that bring the tithe and the offerings, and I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing that there won't be room enough to take it. Now, God's blessing is so big that there won't be room enough to take it. But if you don't have any room, there is no place it will stay. So you still have to create a room. And from time to time, that room will be getting bigger and bigger. How do you create more room? I think we'll be focusing more on that next week. We'll be talking about how to actually receive. There is how to receive the blessing of God. Many people know how to give. They give and give and give and give. They are just givers. But they don't know how to receive. So nothing shows in their lives. And it looks like God is a liar. I remember someone that I knew when I was growing up. It still pains me to today. When you look at him, and you look at how he used to give in time past, there is no correlation. It looks as if God is a liar, but God is not a liar. But why did that happen? You know, his life now does not look like when we were growing up, he was one of the best givers I know about. But today, he's struggling. Now, you must know that there is a way to receive back. So giving is not the only cure to poverty. It's just the avenue that God uses to bless you in return. It's what creates your heavens, opens your heavens, and guarantees your prosperity. But you still need to do something else, like hard work, like applying wisdom in your business, like even knowing how to receive, which we'll be dwelling on later. These are the things that you also have to give. There is a way to receive. Giving is not the only way. So don't just give and expect that that's the only thing to do. No, it's just one of the things to do. Praise God. Then number six, what are the myths and errors about giving and receiving? Neglecting the forces of darkness. Now, you can give. Your harvest is ready to come, and the powers of darkness can hinder it. The Bible says something. Paul said, God has opened to me a great and effectual door, but there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. So, you and I must know that even when you have given, if you don't see the harvest, then you can destroy the power of darkness that is trying to hinder the harvest from coming. Because it's not supposed to be. It's an anomaly. When you give, there must be an harvest. Now, if you have given, you have done everything God wants you to do, there may just be a devil trying to hinder your blessing from coming. What do you do? Use the blood of Jesus to destroy that power of darkness, and the harvest will start coming. Then, number seven. Some people think you just have to give beyond your means and capacity always. No, it is wrong. Now, you may have to give sacrificially some of the time, but not all the time. Because if you're always giving all that God has given you, how do you enjoy it? There's a place in the Bible that says God has given us many riches to enjoy. God does not just want to give to you. He wants you to also enjoy what he has given you. So don't think God just wants to give to you to now begin to give out. Yes, of course. You give out so much. As you are giving and you are increasing, you give more than you've ever received. Of course. That means you are giving more than you are giving before. That's what I meant. If you used to give 50 naira or dollar, whatever you give, now there's a time that you begin to increase it. It becomes 100. It becomes 200. It becomes 1,000. It becomes 5,000. It becomes 1,000,000. And 1,000,000 at a time does not mean anything to you again, because you are increasing. But it doesn't mean that everything you have, you must now give it out. If you give out everything, the person will become poor. And it's because the person has not used wisdom. Even Jesus had a purse. So who are you not to have a purse? He had so much in his purse, in his savings, that Judas was stealing it. And the whole disciples, they did not feel it. It was more like their welfare savings. And they did not feel it. So that means you and I cannot just be giving. You are giving and saving and keeping. That is the way to prosperity. Then, of course, stay within your means. Don't borrow to give to God. Don't impress God. God is not impressed by you. Why will you want to impress God? Don't impress God. Of course, there's a place of giving vows and all those things. But you and I must understand that you are not impressing God. It is out of the things you have that you are giving out. God knows what you have. He knows your class. He knows your capacity. Don't say, I want to give 1,000 when all you have is 1,000. Yes, God can demand a sacrifice from you once in a while. Of course, when he does that, give everything. Because that means there's a new season that wants to happen in your life. That's the meaning. A new season wants to begin. That is the meaning. So, always give within your means. And how will you give within your means? You must know what you have. Some of us don't know what we have. We don't know our capacity. Some of us just, somebody comes and says, give me 1,000 and just bring out 1,000. But by the time you get home, you now realize that all you have, because you have so many bills to pay, all you have is even less than 1,000. It's 800. Now you have given out 1,000. Now you are in need. That's not the plan of God. So you and I must handle our affairs, what we have, with discretion. Make sure you always know what you have per time. Because it's when you know what you have that you can give out. Know your income. Some of us, maybe you just collect a salary of 300K and you think you are rich. But by the time you remove your house rent, you remove so many, you see that everything I even collect in a month is no more than 50K because of all the bills you have to pay. So it is out of all these bills, the remaining thing that you can give out. Of course, you have removed your tithe, you have removed your offering and all those things. But what is remaining is where you can give out to people. That is just the bottom line. Know what you have, then give within your means and capacity. Don't borrow to give to God. God is not impressed by it. Even to others. Yes, sometimes if you have the capacity, you may have to go the extra mile. But I'm saying it on a basis of every time. No, it shouldn't be every time. Now, the last one I'm going to add to it. We have mentioned 7. I'm going to add just one more. That some people think they can buy God with their giving. No, it's not right. It's wrong. You can't buy God, you can't buy favor from God because you are giving. No. God favors you when you obey his commandment. The only thing is, your obedience can stir up the favor of God. But you can't buy the favor of God with money. It is priceless. And you can't buy God with money. Some people, you know, they have done all the wrong things in life. Now they begin to give. They give so much in church. They think what they are giving will cover their sins. No. There's a different aspect that covers your sin, your repentance, your salvation, your being born again covers your sins, not your giving. Your giving does not cover your sin. No, it's a different aspect of life. So, before we close today, I want us to look at one more thing, the miracle of giving and receiving. We talked about the miracle and mysteries. There's a miracle that can happen, or there are miracles that can happen because of your giving. Now, there is something about miracle. Miracles only require your faith. There is nothing else you want to do about miracles. It's just faith. It's all about God. Then number 2, miracles require your thoughts. That's your hopes and what put into action. That's when miracles happen. That's the only part you can play. You can just change your thoughts to hope and to expect what God wants to give to you. Then you can put your words into action. Then number three, once in a while, miracles can even happen irrespective of your faith level. We know that yes, you can command miracles by your faith, but there are times that miracles happen without your faith. If you are one person, you know here that sometimes in your life you have experienced miracles before and you know it wasn't your faith, maybe you can drop a thumbs up in the chat. Like, you know that something happened and you know that God, no, it wasn't my faith, it was just your mercy. Because there are times that God will just override whatever you are doing by his mercy. Mercy prevails over judgment. We are all beneficiaries of his mercy. So don't think it's all about what you do at times. There are times that it's just mercy. Have you not known unbelievers that enjoy the miracles? Even in the Bible, there was a woman in the Bible, the Syrophoenician woman. She was not a Jew. She was not even supposed to enjoy any of the miracles. And she came to Jesus. He said, see, if it is about, I'm not qualified, but there are crumbs falling down from the table, I can enjoy from you. And Jesus said, wow, so much faith, receive. That was all she received. Did the Bible say she received more? Maybe she now became born again later, I don't know. But unbelievers can even enjoy miracles. So don't use miracle as a sign of you being in righteousness with God. No, unbelievers can even enjoy miracles because the mercy of God is available. In fact, the Bible says God makes the rain to fall on the righteous and on the unrighteous. So because you are enjoying the blessings does not mean you are in right standing with God. We must always check our right standing with God all the time. Eventually, it's still up to God. When it comes to miracles, it is up to God. Now let's jump to the next one. The mysteries of giving and receiving, where I want us to dwell today. As we close, the mystery requires your part and my part. The mysteries produce the miracles and can guarantee their consistency and continuity. The mysteries of the kingdom of God can guarantee that you enjoy miracles every day. Instead of saying, God, do this miracle, just go and find out the mysteries that God has put down in his word. One of the mysteries is giving that we have mentioned today. Giving, there are all kinds of giving. We'll be mentioning those next week when we are talking about receiving. So the mysteries produce the miracles and can guarantee their consistency and continuity. You know, when you have the key, you don't struggle with anything. If you have a big house and you are living in a big house, all you need to do is have the key. The moment you put the key, you can enter anytime. Do you have to pray to enter? No, just have the key. So that is where believers should focus on. Focus on having the keys that open different doors of life. It's not one key. There are several keys. There are keys to prosperity, keys to divine healing, keys to divine health, keys to divine everything. There are keys that you and I must know about. We'll be looking at some of them next week. Then, one of the mysteries of giving and receiving is that it requires hard work, denial, and sacrifices, and being continuous in them. Some of us just hand you the mysteries once in a while and leave it. No. All these things, the hard work that goes behind consistency in miracles, they are hard works. Because you gave last week does not mean you won't give this week. You give every day. You give every time. Even when there's no money to give, you can give your help. You can give your skills. God needs it. It's just like when you're in a church and they need somebody to play the drum and you can play the drum. You say, no. Today I want to give money. No. Your money that day is almost not as important as you giving your skill that day. So your skill, your money, your everything, even yourself is required. That's one of the mysteries. Then the mysteries function based on the covenant of the word of God. So there's a covenant of the word of God. And these are the things that drive, you know, the miracles. Just stay with the covenant and you can expect the miracles every day. So when you give, there are ways to give, there are things to give, then there's a way to expect to receive. So next week, we'll be focusing on how to receive the blessings. Because many of us only know how to give. And some of us have given and given and almost frustrated. And like, so why am I not seeing the benefits? So next week, we'll be looking at Common Sense Guide to Receiving. Common Sense Guide to Giving and Receiving. You know, to receive back in return. Because I'm more interested in the receiving. Maybe you are interested in the giving. Me, I'm more interested in the receiving. Because that's what benefits me. Right? Some people, they are interested in praying. Ah, man, I just pray 20 hours. And so what? What can you show for it? I'm interested in answers to my prayers, not in praying. So if I have to pray 1 hour to get answers, then I will now have to pray 1 hour. But my focus is on the receiving, which you and I must always focus on. So that will be the end of the episode today. I don't know if anyone has a question. Do we have any question today? Maybe about giving, about receiving. I hope you've been blessed today.
So, yes, good evening.
Well, sir, thank you so much for the session. It was very enjoyable. I was able to pick a couple of things and you're very insightful. Thank you.
Oh, please, God.
So my little question is basically on, you mentioned something about tithing and giving and all.
Yes.
I was going to ask, in terms of tithing, on what are we meant to tithe on? Okay. Maybe speaking for business people, people that are into business, basically. Or it could be any other person, because even when we get our salaries, we still have other home or family expenses that go in. So are we meant to tithe on our net profit or our gross profit? That's, are we meant to tithe on the actual fee we get, at the actual income we get at the end of the month? Or we are tithing on the balance after deducting any expenses?
Okay, thank you. Okay, because of our time, yeah, thank you for that question. I think that's one of the things that will probably be bothering some other people here. See, there's one thing about God. The instructions of God are not burdensome. I think we should always remember that. God does not put burden on us. When God expects your tithe, the Bible says we should pay. I think in Proverbs there's a scripture that talks about the increase of your increase. It says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Honor him. You are actually honoring him. And with the first fruit of all your increase, God is after the increase. And he says your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. God wants you to tithe on your increase, not just on what you get. For example, if you do a business of ₦1,000,000 and your net profit is 50K, that's what God expects you to tithe on, not on the old money that came in. See, God is a mathematician. He knows what your profit is. So he's not expecting you to now put a burden on yourself. In fact, just do it. Try to pay a tithe on everything that came in. Next time, you won't feel like paying tithe. That's the truth. But when you pay it on the net, calculate everything you spent. Okay, this is my cost price. This is my expenses. This is my margin. This is the profit I made. The exact profit is what you pay tithe on. There's no pressure. The truth is this. God does not need our money. He just wants to bless us. So the tithing is on the net profit, not on the gross. So I think that answers it. Even for those collecting salary, let me explain this. Personally, when I collect salary, I pay my tithe on my gross salary. That's personal. But I really think that, when you collect your salary, your expenses too, you can remove it and pay on the net. See, God is not putting anybody under pressure. For example, you take transportation to work, you buy fuel. The only reason why I don't calculate all those things is because I feel I may make a mistake to cheat on God. For example, if I think I bought 4K fuel in the month, right? And, maybe I bought 4K fuel. It's not only work I use 4K to drive to. I used it to drive to other places too, for pleasure, for other things. So I feel, let me just pay gross and be safe when it comes to my tithing. So that's what I feel personally. But if you can calculate it accurately, why not? Calculate your expenses, the net profit. Just feel free to remove it, and I think that's it. In fact, the truth is this. None of us actually pays accurate tithe. That's the truth. You're only talking about salary. What about some other things are coming? Okay, let's say I just look at you and say, my sister, I like you. Take this clothes. How do you pay tithe on that clothes that came in? So you can't really pay all the tithe. That's the truth. But as much as you can calculate, especially financially, pay it. Because if you want to pay your tithe rightly, if I give you a clothes worth 50K, you should tithe 5K out of that 50K. You should monetize that clothes and pay a tithe of it. But everybody's going to be under pressure here. So that's it. We should not put ourselves under pressure. Just pay, based on net profit. I hope that helps.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. God bless you. So I also feel led to pray this prayer for everybody today. That scripture we just read. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word you've sent to us today. Be magnified in Jesus' name. And Father, as your children, I've always been honoring you, and we continue to honor you with a different understanding today. I pray that as they honor you with their first fruit, with their increase, with their tithing, Lord, let their barns be filled with plenty. Let them have more than enough in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let their vats overflow with new wine. New wine, I believe, represents new ideas, new territories, new customers, new clients, new people. Lord, let that be the portion of everyone listening to me right now in the name of Jesus. Be blessed in Jesus' name, and so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. See you next week, and have a great day. Bye, everyone.
The good success.com.